On the 27th of March, the UK chairmanship of the Committee of Ministers will host a meeting on LGBT rights. What do you think they should be discussing?
One could be, for example, looking into practices of the Ministers of Home Affairs in Council of Europe member states, whether it is possible for LGBT people to file for asylum on grounds of discrimination, on grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity. We've had, unfortunately, cases in the UK itself where people who had filed for asylum, for example, from Iran, which has the death penalty on homosexuality, have been, they tried to send them back. So there has been protests and then they could stay. So I think that is something that this conference should look into it. And furthermore, look into so many Council of Europe states, also outside of the European Union, where LGBT rights are strongly violated. Look to Russia, for example, or other countries in Eastern Europe that are now trying to have laws that prohibit any kind of so-called propaganda on sexual orientation or gender identity, which on the internet, for example, which prevents especially young people in their time of having their coming out to learn to lead a life free of fear, yeah, of living their loves the way they fall in love with. Yeah, so that I would say are some issues. Yeah, look at what rights exist, where Council of Europe rules or Council of Europe decisions are not being implemented by governments.
On that point, do you agree with the view that Europe has two or even three speeds in terms of progress on LGBT rights?
I think I would say yes to that. And of course, partially it has to do with history. It is true that Western European countries were in the forefront after 1968, after the student move revolutions, to go ahead in demanding LGBT rights. And there are now five in Western Europe who allow marriage for LGBT people. So that is big progress that has been done here. But still, we have problems inside even the EU member states. There are several who do not even have registered partnership law. And then, of course, there's the countries that come from the ex-Soviet Union, the ex-Eastern Bloc, and there is progress. Yeah, we have now, we've had like before Hungary that is problematic now, but Hungary had a partnership registration law long before Austria had one, which is considered Western Europe. Yeah, so things are not totally clear. Yeah, but of course we see also backlashes. For example, in Hungary, for example, in Slovenia now there's a referendum on diluting the partnership registration that exists, on definitely not allowing same-sex partners to adopt children. So yes, there are different speeds, but countries are not the same, neither in the so-called old Europe nor the new Europe, nor in countries that are either from the Eastern Partnership or Council of Europe states.
What strategies do you use in countries where you think the climate towards LGBT rights is less favourable?
I think we need several layers. One is that of encouraging activists to organise, to get support from the outside, and also to pressurise their own governments via media, for example, in order to have more acceptance and then also more rights. As a parliamentarian, in our parliamentary meetings with parliaments from other states, I always and some others as well talk about the issue and demand that equal rights should be there. It's been a general habit already by the European Parliament in all kind of reports on different countries to include the LGBT issue there, anti-discrimination, non-violation of rights. And, of course, one very important thing. We have, from the Council of Europe, the European Court on Human Rights. This is a court that is binding in its decisions. And many countries, even mine, in Austria only it was in 2002, when Austria had to abolish, after a ruling of the European Court of Human Rights and an Austrian constitutional court, the different minimum age for gay couples, yeah? Which was a lot higher than for anybody else. So the European Court of Human Rights has been very helpful in many countries to help individuals to get their human rights. So any kind of attempt to make the court decisions non-binding, that I think should have to be addressed at that conference, that may not happen, that must not happen, because that would really infringe on individuals' rights to appeal to a European Court of Human Rights, which has been so supportive of getting human rights strengthened in so many Council of Europe member states.